So when you're thinking about your ambitious goals and you feel like you're not ready because you don't have everything together, you don't have enough money, you don't have enough time, you're not really sure, you have imposter syndrome, you have to remember that there are people out there waiting for you to serve them. And if you are someone who really embraces perfectionism, it is holding you back and is holding them back. And I usually like to emphasize the them, because people who like to serve others tend to be more concerned about the others. So I'm telling you, the others are waiting for you. Don't make them wait.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Bauberg Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I'm here with Stephanie Ray. Stephanie, what's going on this morning?
Oh, lots of stuff. I'm always super busy. Got a lot of ideas in my head. Probably the same as you.
Yeah, always a million things running through my head, but I'm happy you could take some time with me today. You are the president and owner of Accountability Evangelist. You've done a lot of cool things, a summit you put on. I know you're putting together a group. We'll dive more in. I'd rather you explain it than me go off memory, but I want to start off with the simplest question. What the heck is a accountability evangelist?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. So many people don't ask that question, which is funny because I made it up. You know, it's not something that you'll find. In fact, I Googled it before I got the business name to make sure it was available. And also, you know, is anyone else using it? Nobody's using it, which I was thrilled about. So an accountability evangelist right now, there's just me officially, but I've met some other people who I would definitely anoint as accountability evangelists, as opposed to accountability ambassadors. So I have a Facebook group called Ambitious Accountability Ambassadors. And ambassadors are people who kind of walk the walk of accountability and do it proudly. An evangelist is out there, you know, proselytizing about accountability and how it is so wonderful, and it is the solution to so many of our challenges. And it's just an empowering thing that I absolutely love. So an evangelist kind of jacks it up a notch from an ambassador. It's something that you're nearly obsessed with, which I'd say is pretty close for me. And it's really my core passion. So that's where I came up with the evangelist name. They actually created the persona in a previous job and donned a cape and the whole deal to show that I was serious about accountability.
I love it. I love it. And accountability is a buzzword, obviously, but what does it actually mean to you and your business? What kind of accountability are we talking about?
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to actually first answer with another person I met, as I've just kind of alluded to. I know there are other accountability evangelists out there. I recently met another one. His name is Mark Samuel, and he gave a definition of accountability that I'd never heard. So I want to share that one, and then I'll share with you what mine is. And that is taking action consistent with your desired outcomes. That is what Mark thinks accountability is. And I 100% agree. I love that. I have been operating on the definition of serving others by doing whatever it takes to be the best person you can be. To me, that's accountability. It's fairly broad, but it really gives you a chance to look at, what do I want to accomplish? So Mark and my definition, I think, are very much aligned. Who am I trying to serve? Because I really believe that accountable people are driven to serve others. And if you're doing that, in order to do that well, you have to be willing to do what it takes. And what it takes could be many things. It could be eating right, getting enough sleep so that you show up in the best way possible, studying up on your craft, making sure you're delivering the best service. All of those things fall under the umbrella of doing whatever it takes.
I love that. When when I first hear the word accountability, I almost think, oh, I say I'm going to be at a meeting, I'm accountable to be there. I say I'll pick you up, I'm accountable to be there. But it's more than just physically doing it or showing up. It sounds like it's more nuanced. It's showing up energetic. It's eating right. It's doing the right thing. It's serving. So it's more than just being a warm body in a room, right? It's actually showing up and being your best self, it sounds like.
Absolutely. I think where that comes from is when people hear accountable, I think they immediately go to holding accountable. And then they will probably go to kind of this negative connotation. It just feels bad to be held accountable, or worse, having to hold someone else accountable, which frankly, I don't think is really possible. It's really just you, because you have control over yourself and you can influence others by your behavior, but holding other people accountable, which is a question I get quite a bit, is kind of tough. And the best way to do that is to be a role model and demonstrate the behavior that you want by doing it yourself. But ultimately, people have to take their own accountability for themselves. So accountability is very personal, and that's really where it starts.
Got it. So we all need to take personal accountability. I can't force someone to be accountable, but the best thing I can do is be accountable myself to be a good role model. It seems so simple, but it's not always as easy as it sounds, right?
Oh, no. I mean, gave the great distinction. Simple and easy are totally different. Mm. It is very simple. You just do whatever it takes to be the best person you could possibly be. It is definitely not easy, because that could mean a lot of different things based on the examples I gave and many other things. Being the best person you can be takes a lot of energy, and doing it constantly is really not something that's realistic. So accountability is really an aspiration, honestly. And it's a constant aspiration. You know, Michael Jordan, not Michael B. Jordan, but the basketball player, Michael Jordan said, I believe it was him, earn your leadership every day. And similarly, you have to aspire to be accountable every day. It's not something where you arrive and you are accountable and you're anointed. That, on the other hand, the good news is you can easily be called accountable with just a little bit of effort, because all it takes is a willingness to turn that mirror facing yourself. Whenever something's going on, what am I doing or not doing that is impacting the situation? And that's where you have to start. That's what makes people accountable.
I think it's huge. I know personally, I'm great at showing up and doing my best, but sometimes I feel like I'm struggling to fully be accountable to do my best work and to get enough sleep and be there. Like there's always a little bit of struggle sometimes with accountability, where you show up, but it's more than just showing up. It's showing up and doing your absolute best. And I'm just wondering, you know, where you ultimately found this line of work, you know, being an accountability evangelist. Are you like me, who's self-critical and never thinks they're doing good enough, so you end up reading books about it and spending your life trying to fix it? That's how I am. Or like, what brought you into this role, and you know, why do you love being an accountability evangelist?
Yeah, so there are two inflection points I would point to. Back when I worked at Bausch & Lomb years ago, I was offered a promotion into a higher level position that was really awesome. I actually turned it down a couple times, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. But I didn't think I was ready for it. I don't know if ready is the right word, but I was used to being promoted after I'd already pretty much done the job. I mean, that was kind of what I was used to. So it was almost like, oh, thanks, you know? And this was the first time where someone saw in me the ability to step up into a place I'd never been. And when I finally decided to accept the job, which was a smart move, because I realized that when I was ready for it personally, it might be gone. And then I couldn't have it. So I was like, well, I better take it now. I mean, someone's actually offering it to me and they're asking me three times. So at this point, it would be really stupid of me to turn it down. And so I took it. But at that moment, I decided, well, I've got to do something about this imposter syndrome that I have, meaning that I felt I wasn't fully qualified. And so I started to read, and I decided not to read The job was director of employee relations. And I decided not to read about employee relations. I read about leadership. So I got my hands on Good to Great and It's Your Ship and everything you can think of. And I kept reading and really getting myself pumped up to step up into that new role. And that started my love of self-development. I became a junkie and I've never looked back. I have continued to read tons of nonfiction self-improvement books and want to share those with the world. So that was the first inflection point. And then you fast forward after Bausch & Lomb was sold and my position was eliminated, I ended up in a nonprofit, which is actually really where I thought I wanted to be. But it was very obvious to me when I first got there that the culture was different, really, really different. But I couldn't quite put my finger on what it was. I just noticed it right away. And after 2 months, I named it, and it was the lack of accountability. And how did I know that? Was that people weren't getting back to each other. You know, you'd leave them a voicemail, they wouldn't call you back, or you'd send them an email, you'd never hear back from them. And I mean, I know that happens. It still happens, right? But it just, in the corporate world, that was not rampant. I mean, it was an exception, not the rule. But where I went, it was just accepted. And nobody had any consequences for that behavior. So luckily, I had a very visionary and open-minded CEO there. When I approached him with this issue and said, I think I need to do something about it, he's like, go ahead, which is unbelievable. Wow. Because most of the time, CEOs are very protective, understandably so, of having, you know, a fairly new person come in and just say, hey, you guys kind of suck, because that's pretty much what I did. But I was in an interim role at the time. And when I came on full time, it felt better for me to be part of the solution as being in the organization. So that's when I started to develop that accountability evangelist persona, because I wanted it to draw attention to it in a fun way, a positive way, an empowered way, to get people behind me so that they could kind of get on board with me and then be prepared to do this on their own. And so that's where it started. And I wanted to leave it behind, or I felt like maybe it had run its course after a couple of years of me wearing this cape every month at new hire orientation. And I stopped wearing it, but nearly immediately I was called out on it. Like, no, where's the cape? So I had to get the cape back on. And so when I finally went into full-time in my business on January 1st, I actually bought the DBA for Accountability Evangelist from as part of my original business back in June, I think it was. I decided to name it Accountability Evangelist, and I kept the cape because that's really, it was a big signal to people about, you know, me, Stephanie Ray, the Accountability Evangelist. And the two come together, and I said, you know what? I'm going to stop fighting this cape. I'm just going to wear it.
I really wish you had the cape on you today. I'm excited about this cape thing. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, well, it's definitely on my website, and it's not too far away from me. And so it does make an appearance now and again, but it's a superhero cape. It's homemade. I literally safety pinned a black A on the back. I cut it out using old like pantyhose or something and just put it out. And if you look under the cape, you'll see literally about 50 safety pins. It is the most DIY disaster you could ever imagine.
Sure.
But I've kept it. The charm is still there.
I'm gonna go look up a photo or two. What was that website? Your website?
It's accountabilityevangelist.com. I was happy that, of course, because no one had the name, nobody had the domain. So you can go there, and a couple of the pages have me wearing the cape and posing too. So I did a photo shoot. We had a lot of fun with the cape. So those pictures will be surfacing now and again.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And congratulations. You said you went full time as an entrepreneur this year. I recently went full time as an entrepreneur as well. And my question to start off really is do you still have imposter syndrome? Do you ever feel like you're in over your head, or have you put in the work that you're ready to go full swing?
I would say I don't have imposter syndrome. I believe that I can do this, and not even that I can. I believe that I will. My concern is, and I'm always hesitant to articulate it, is when. If I were single with no children and no other obligations, I don't think I would have a care in the world, because I believe in myself and my ability to make this happen. However, you know, I'm part of a family that needs to pay bills and children in private school. I want to keep them there. And so there's some pressure to generate revenue like fast. And as you know, that's not how it works. You have to build. And while I've had this business on the side since 2015, I really haven't done anything to grow it until very recently. So I'm pretty much starting over. And so that's my only concern about it. However, if I can just, you know, practice what I preach and, you know, push down those self-limiting beliefs and just trust that the money will come, then I'm fine, because I'm really motivated by the service. I am thrilled when I hear about the impact of what I'm doing and people wanting to get more and hear more. I know that there is a market for what I do, but there is also a process for it. So the other reason why I don't have imposter syndrome anymore is because I enrolled in a coaching program myself, so that I feel 100% confident that I have the tools I need and support I need to do this, you know, because I don't know how to necessarily build a business on my own. So I needed to get support, and I found a really good place for that. And I think that people who tend to have self-confidence issues would really benefit from finding such a program or resource or something, so that they feel like they have that safety net. You know, when I made the decision to leave my last job and spoke to my husband about it, I pointed directly to this coaching program to say, see, this is why I know I can do this, because I know I believe in myself, but now I also have the support and tools. I really can't fail. It's just a matter of when is this thing going to take off.
I love so much of what you said there, you know, from the fact that what you're actually doing is serving and helping clients, but having the knowledge that, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. You could be very aggressive and salesy and try to bring on clients that aren't a good fit for you or aren't ready. And you're doing it the right way to know that it's going to take a little bit of time. But yeah, that's like the number one struggle of an entrepreneur, right? The fact that there's a lot of building. You got to be passionate about it. And obviously you are very passionate about it. Was there a moment, I know we kind of talked a little bit about it already, you know, in your previous roles, but was there any moments in time that were maybe very humbling or very exciting where you realized, wow, okay, this is exactly what I want to do with my career now? Like, I think I've found my path. Was there like a tipping point moment or anything comes to mind that just really made you smile or humbled you that this is something that you love to do?
I think it's probably not one singular moment, but just feedback from people, almost like a testimonial, unsolicited testimonials from people that I've coached in the past.
Right.
Who have just stated the impact that I don't even think I realized that I had, which is ironic, because if you were to ask me about coaches that I've had, people that influenced me, I would immediately be able to give them effusive praise. But yet I forget that I'm doing the same thing for other people. So when I hear that and I see the comments, you know, when I ran this recent summit, which featured 30 speakers, and getting the feedback from those interviews and how it impacted people's lives, just one person, because it doesn't have to be millions of people. Eventually it's got to be more than one person to, you know, to pay my bills, but yeah. But I'm really serving people as individuals, and the transformation that I'm looking for is really person to person. And when people just, you know, reach out and say, this was so meaningful to me, I needed to hear this, thank you so much for bringing this forward, that's really all I need to hear as validation. You know, I've seen it earlier when I was accountability evangelist, you know, in the job when I donned the cape, I saw the impact there. You know, it really did. It's tough for me to say this because I have this battle between humility and self-confidence, but I have to tell you that that really did ignite the cultural transformation at this organization. And everybody there would say that. I didn't do it alone, but in terms of starting it, lighting the spark, I was definitely the one with the match. Mm. And that makes, I'm so proud of that. And also knowing that, you know, I left that organization a couple of years ago. I still hear from my colleagues periodically when they tell me I channeled my inner Steph today, and which is such a compliment. And they're referring to some accountability moment. They can't even hear that word without thinking of my face. If this good or bad, they can't. It's the two of them are married together. And so my legacy lives on, because I would hate to be, have a people so dependent on me that they can't have their own impact. And so what I'm doing is teaching them to fish, basically role modeling it, being there long enough so that it can get the thing in place. So they don't feel like they have to do it this alone. And then when it's time, I back out. And that's exactly what I did in that organization. In fact, I created a succession planning program there that I installed, and we did it for a number of years. And then I worked myself out of a job. I eliminated my own position. Mm. And I'm really proud of that. It really, really, it's one of my top accomplishments is to do that, because I was able to develop people underneath me, step out and give them a chance to kind of move on without me. And they've kept the momentum, which is wonderful.
Yeah. I love that you talk about mentorship, and you talk about the summit you put on and how you are both a mentor and a mentee. You know, you're a coach and you're being coached. I always think it's a great, you know, thing that even if you're mentoring, you need a coach. I mean, I look at Kobe Bryant, for example. Kobe Bryant had a coach, Tim Grover, that was basically his mindset coach. And then I spoke to Coach Jim Johnson on the show. He was a basketball coach, you know, coached J-Mac. And without getting into the whole story, J-Mac was coached by Coach Jim Johnson. J-Mac's boyhood idol was Kobe Bryant. He was channeling his inner Kobe when he played basketball.
Nice.
And Kobe was learning mindset from Grover. So it's this whole network of relationships, mm-hmm. of, you know, mentorship, mentor. And nowadays, J-Mac's a mentor to many young children with autism.
Right.
So if you haven't listened to the Coach Jim Johnson episode, anyone listening, that's a great one. I really briefed the heck out of that situation, that story. But just to lead into the fact you had a summit with, you said, 30 plus speakers. Mm-hmm. Tell me just, you know, a bird's eye view about that summit and maybe some of the people that spoke and what you learned by them. I know,
sure.
I just asked three questions, but
that's all right. I'll do it. So the summit was called Get Out of Your Own Way. Eliminate the beliefs, excuses, and distractions that are keeping you from tackling your most ambitious goals. And it ran in January, which was not a coincidence. I took advantage of the New Year's resolution trend, or even the anti-trend. There's just as many people who denounce resolutions as those who actually take them on. But either way, we all have goals, and the new year usually prompts us to kind of do some self-reflection. So I wanted to do something that would help people do that. So that's why I came up with the topic. And I found we ended up with 30 speakers, including me. And they were global, like they were all over the world. Most of them were in the US, but there were quite a good number outside the US as well. Had a good amount of diversity in the group, which was really important to me. And they spoke about things like self-limiting beliefs and how to get a plan going. You know, one of the things that we talked about earlier about, you know, just having the aspiration and the passion about accountability. That's great, but that can't be it. You have to have a plan, and you have to execute the plan to achieve your goals. And you need support to do that, because if you don't have all those things, you're going to lose focus and momentum, which will then kind of depress you and you won't want to get started again. So that's why it's really important to have that whole sequence. I call it the personal accountability success sequence. Is you have to have the clarity first and the plan and then the support. So this summit was part of that. And a lot of the speakers really spoke to different aspects of it. We started every interview by having them tell the audience how they got out of their own way, which was really awesome. Just hearing the personal story. And then we got into more of the application and the topic that they wanted to focus on. And so that is something that I'm really proud of. The summit's over now. There's still an opportunity to buy a VIP pass to access it to all the speakers. The topics are frankly timeless because we all get out of our own way from time to time. But I also, as you pointed out, I learned a lot and I heard these interviews multiple times. Of course, I conducted them. Then I listened to them and took notes. Then I did a top three recap of every interview. And then at the very end, I wrapped up the entire event. So I really, really like, you know, wrung out the sponge of all the learning. And but I could just as easily go back to the interviews and learn something new from them. It was just so wonderful to hear their perspectives and none of it was unattainable, right? It wasn't like, you know, I was talking to these multimillionaires who had, you know, just who had done things that you couldn't even picture yourself doing. And they were very successful for sure, but it wasn't, you could see yourself, oh, okay, if they could do it, I can do it. Mm-hmm. And then they'd have these little nuggets of wisdom that you'd say, oh, you know, how, if I put that into place, just like I shared with you earlier, Mark Samuel's definition of accountability, that's just an example of what I learned and a lot from him. We geeked out really, really extensively on accountability. So I personally enjoyed that one a lot. I had other people on one special one where Steve Robbins actually went through the nefarious nine things that hold us back, including things like unaligned action, which is also similar to what Mark was saying. So that was a lot of fun. We had a couple Western New York entrepreneurs as well. So myself included, we had Carrie Jones from Indigo Tones, who's a personal color analyst. That was a fascinating conversation because a lot of people don't even realize that what you wear makes a big impact. In fact, what I'm wearing today is aligned with what Carrie taught me on purpose, because I now know how important that is. We also had Emily Bowman from Braid Babes, which is a startup in Buffalo that's also expanded to Rochester. And she had a fascinating story about her journey, but also her rule. She's a 24-hour rule. When she has a new idea and she is ready to, you know, she's excited about it, she'll share it with those she loves, but she tells them for 24 hours, I don't want to hear a word about it. And that includes no eye rolling, no scoffing, nothing. You know, I'm excited about this. After 24 hours, you can tell me what you really think. Mm. And that's just an example of the type of thing you get out of these interviews. And I just absolutely loved that. It was just wonderful. So there's a lot of other things that happened, but as I said before, the feedback I got from the summit was just wonderful. People kind of gravitated towards certain speakers or certain topics that felt like timely for them. And it was just a really awesome event. Ton of work, I won't lie. Mm-hmm. Ton of work.
Right.
But I think I survived it and probably will do it again next year. It will be easier for me because my learning curve will be way, way, way shorter. I didn't know how to find a speaker, much less put on an event, you know, online and figure out how to get it. Just there's a lot of tech that you have to know. And now that I've got all that handled and I've got a good cadre of speakers, I don't have to start over from the beginning, which is something I'm very excited about. Yeah.
You already learned the hard part, so don't let the hard part discourage you, because next time you do it, it'll be way more seamless, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
And I love it. I always believe through osmosis, there's something intangible, but when you're speaking and listening to all these speakers, all these people that are experts in their field, all these successful people, through osmosis, you learn things without really realizing it. You know, they say you're supposed to surround yourself with people that are smarter than you. You want to be the dumbest person in the room. You're the smartest in the room. That's an issue for that very reason. So I want to dive in. I ultimately am going to look at your speaker list and listen, because I need more ideas for my show. So I might need some recommendations from you. And, I'm curious. So you have a, a new group that you just started, or tell us a little bit about it. Was it Ambition Ignition, you said?
Yeah. So next week, or it's coming up. So it, depending on when airs, February 22nd. Now, it's not the only time I'll do it. So if this people are listening to this, like in the future, I'm going to be running this challenge, over and over, not every month, but probably every 6 weeks or so. And I'm going to tweak it based on feedback. But what it's going to do is lead people into the next program. So the challenge, Ambition Ignition, is a 5-day challenge to get clarity around what you really want to do. Because I believe, this is my hypothesis, that you will not tackle an ambitious goal until or unless you have a burning and inescapable desire to do so. And it's got to be like jacked up, because if it's not, you might think you're interested in it. And you know, in a given day, you might be excited about writing a new book or something, but then it just kind of peters out, and it's not going to happen if you have a burning and inescapable desire to do so. Now, the other thing I've discovered though, is if you don't have that desire, you can stoke it, stoke the fire. That's why it's called Ambition Ignition, Light Your Goal Fire. There is a way to do that so that you are getting so excited once again about this thing that you're like, I'm going for it. And that's tied back into the Get Out of Your Own Way, because the feedback I got from the Get Out of Your Own Way series was they loved it, but there's still people who are not ready. They're just, something's keeping them stuck. And I think what will happen is the best thing to do is to get that desire going through creating the clarity. So that's a 5-day challenge. It's free. And people will have an assignment every day. It'll take less than 15 minutes a day. By the end of the week, they should know, what is that thing that I have that burning desire for? And I'm going to help them create that desire through the week. And then after that, there'll be an offer to join my group coaching program, which will help them keep the focus and momentum that they need and give them the support and the structure and the tools to make the plan and execute the plan so that they're constantly moving ahead in the context of a community of people trying to do the same thing, right? So there's other people striving for their most ambitious goals. That has built an accountability right there, because you're going to show up every week or whenever it is, and you're going to report on how you're doing. You're going to get some coaching and helping you figure out, did I shoot too high? Did I try to do too much in 1 week? Is there a way to tweak this so this will work better for me? So that you're constantly moving forward. Because that's the biggest risk you have with ambitious goals, is that you just stop because you gave up. You lost that focus and momentum. So my program will help you keep that.
Yeah. The accountability aspect seems huge, because you can practice, you can have good data, but if you're not being held accountable, that's ultimately the secret sauce, I'd imagine. And you said it's a 5-day program. Are you running that challenge more than once, or is it just the 1 week?
It'll be more than once. The way I think it's going to work now is that, you know, a technically restarted entrepreneur, I'm still in experimentation mode myself, is there'll be a 5-day challenge leading into the enrollment into the group program for those who want to do that. The challenge is free. The group program isn't. But the free challenge is open to anybody. And then I'll run it again in another cycle in another 6 weeks, maybe 4 weeks in this one. And with considering the feedback I got from the first challenge, I'll run it again, and people can then enroll in the group program the next cycle. So I'll have multiple cohorts going. Got it. At any given time. But the important thing about the accountability is just the positive perspective. You know, the feedback I've gotten about my particular style, the people I've coached in the past, they really like that I hold them accountable. They think I'm holding them accountable. What I'm really doing is teaching them how to hold themselves accountable self-compassion.
Right.
So there is never a moment where you come to the table with your top three, because I use the top three approach where we do this every week or biweekly, however the cadence is. If you didn't get your top three done, nobody's slapping your hand. That's not how this works. And now some people respond better to tough love. That's not what I do. I help them understand, okay, what happened and what can we do differently? What can you tweak so that you don't, that doesn't happen again? you know, maybe, and the biggest mistake people make right out of the gate is they get too eager and their top three is so big that no one could ever get it done in a week. And so I help them kind of chunk it back down to, wait, hold on, let's get more specific about this very next step you need to do. And let's define it. It should be reasonable yet challenging. And then we're going to come back and see how it went. And once you get going, you get really good at self-calibrating. But in the beginning, you really need that support of a coach. So my program is a 6-month program for that reason, because you need to get, it's long enough to instill the habit, because it's not about just reaching that particular goal. It's about building the capacity, capability to go after every goal that you want. Not all at once, but once you know how to do it, you feel confident in your own abilities, then you're in control. You don't need as much coaching. However, I will say to you, it is my intention to have a coach forever, because I believe everyone should have a coach all the time. Because if you were truly aspiring to be better and better, the best person that you can be, then you're always looking for ways to improve. One of the best ways to do that is to have a good coach.
I appreciate your being a coach to me right now. You're offering your time to me and the audience for free. So I love that. I appreciate it. I'm going to check out the Get Out of Your Own Way series, Ambition Ignition. It sounds like there's going to be a few opportunities to jump on board with that. Long-term accountability, like you said earlier, you're doing this for life. You're a lifelong learner. We all should be. And it sounds like it's just kind of determining what your dream is and what you're passionate about and holding yourself accountable to move in that direction.
I
always touch on Rochester a little bit. We'll keep it simple for Western New York. Very simply put, favorite thing to do when you're not reading, you're no longer learning, you put everything down, you're just gonna, you know, let the hair down, relax, and do something fun. Well, what do you like about the region just on a day off?
Yeah, sure. Probably my number one thing to do is orienteering. Rochester has an orienteering club. I know Buffalo does as well. A lot of cities around the U.S. do. But the Rochester Club, of course, the one that I go to, it gives you a chance to go to different, explore different parks in the area that maybe you wouldn't normally explore. And it's a scavenger hunt in the woods. It's great exercise. That you do not have to have a specific fitness level. You can run if you want. You can walk. You can make an aggressive hike. I like to take my older daughter has become very much a fan of orienteering. So I like to take her with me. It's just great. It exercises your mind too. And you're out in nature. So you get that effect as well. It's really fun.
I love it. And to get to know Stephanie even a little bit more, we'll move into the rapid fire round. Simple either or, and you can fill in the blank questions just to get to know Stephanie. Steph,
yeah.
What about favorite local restaurant?
Veneto.
Coffee or tea?
Neither.
Love it. Beer or wine?
Wine, 100%.
What about cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Dogs. iOS or Android?
iOS.
So are you on the Clubhouse app?
I am on the Clubhouse app, and I may be soon co-hosting a room with one of my speakers from the summit.
Cool. Yeah, I've been hearing way too much about the Clubhouse app. I've had an Android my whole life. But as someone who likes podcasts, who likes mentorship, who likes audio, it's like, oh my God, the Clubhouse app was like made for me, but I can't access it. So someone told me to buy a used iPad. I might have to do that. But if anyone hasn't heard of Clubhouse, not a personal endorsement because I've never been on it, but everyone in my, you know, social, basically mastermind mentor groups, they're all talking about Clubhouse. And it sounds like you'll be able to find Stephanie there too.
Yes. I don't think I can avoid it if I wanted to. It sounds like a great platform. It's basically podcasts, but interactive. It is all audio. And I have to believe that Android is coming. So unless, you know, for you, Ben, and others listening, if you're just dying to get on it, then go find an iOS. device, but I just can't imagine they're going to dig their heels in and stay away from Android too much longer.
Yeah, I don't know much about the background, but iOS has just an incredible, they do an incredible job building their tribe. And part of me feels like it was released for just iOS on purpose to create this FOMO between, you know, people like me to make me feel worse about my silly little Android. But yeah, we'll see where it goes. And since you're an avid learner, if I were to listen to a podcast, read a book, go to a YouTube channel, who do you recommend? Who do you get your knowledge from?
So on podcasts, I have two that I listen to pretty consistently, more so in the nicer weather, because I like to do podcasts when I'm out running. Indoors, I read on the treadmill on my device, so not as much podcasting then. But I listen to Alan Weiss, The Uncomfortable Truth. His are they're short, you know, like usually they're like 6 or 7 minute podcasts weekly. And he's a very confident entrepreneur. You know, he's well past the age that he could retire, but it insists that he's churning out value. And I couldn't agree more. He's pretty in your face, but in a way, it's really good to challenge your thinking. So I've really enjoyed him. Somebody introduced me to him years ago, and I've listened to every single one of his podcasts, which is a little easier to do because they're short. The other one that I like is Broken Brain with Drew Perowit. That's really fun because, it's a different perspective. It can get kind of more on the science side. It's certainly all about the brain. But there's a lot of mindset stuff in there as well, and is really definitely part of the self-improvement kind of world that I live in. I consider that part of my learning curriculum.
Yeah, I wrote them down because I'm going to be listening later today on my morning workout. And
great.
Stephanie, we said the website earlier, but what's your website, social media? If I were to get in contact with you, should I email you, give you a phone call? What's the next step?
Sure. So accountabilityevangelist.com is the website. And my social handles are all pretty much Accountability Evangelist because, again, no one has that. So I was able to scoop it up. Yeah. So I'm on Instagram somewhat reluctantly, not my favorite platform. I'm not a big fan of being on my phone all the time. I'd prefer the desktop. So, but I am doing Instagram, definitely Facebook. I have a Facebook group, Ambitious Accountability Ambassadors, that I definitely would recommend people join. It's free with like other groups. And I'm going to be starting a clubhouse. I just started Clubhouse. Like I went to one event and I'm meeting with a speaker about co-hosting a room, as I mentioned. And then Twitter is vacant right now, but I will be on Twitter very, very soon. I purposely put it off during my launch of the event of the summit because I just too many things at once. But I learned through some of the podcasts I've been on that someone told me recently, you talk in sound bites. And I think that's very appropriate for Twitter. So I've got lots of quotes and Stephisms and things. So that's probably a good platform for me. So you'll definitely see me there as well. And that's also Accountability Evangelist.
Love it. I like the term Stephisms as well. to close out, whether it's a small tip, an actionable step, a Stephism, anything that you can give us to win the rest of our day, no matter when we're listening to it. If we're listening to it at night, we can win tomorrow. Any Stephism or tip that you can end with here?
Sure. I'll borrow from my headliner speaker, Toy Parker, who's a great influencer in her own right. In her interview, she spoke about perfectionism. And when she explained her struggle with it, what I said in response, this is the Stephism, was perfectionism is the enemy of service. So when you're thinking about your ambitious goals and you feel like you're not ready because you don't have everything together, you don't have enough money, you don't have enough time, you're not really sure, you have imposter syndrome, you have to remember that there are people out there waiting for you to serve them. And if you are someone who really embraces perfectionism, it is holding you back and is holding them back. And I usually like to emphasize the them, because people who like to serve others tend to be more concerned about the others. So I'm telling you, the others are waiting for you. Don't make them wait.
Wow. I love it. I'm happy you took the time to come on, Steph, and I look forward to learning more about you real soon.
That's wonderful. Thanks for having me, Ben. This is great.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.